It's November 10th, 2020. I'm going to talk to California and German lawyer Rainer Füllmich about the greatest crime against humanity happening right now, and that he's going to take to court. So you're in the Podcast podcast. In Podcast in Dutch is pot with candle, as in a flower pot. And these are conversations of hope with activists and journalists, well, and lawyers. Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to talk to you. You made quite an impression with that 50-minute address that you did, the lecture early October in English.
Yeah, I was surprised, and everybody around me was surprised as well, because we all thought that this is way too much and way too difficult. But apparently, there are a lot of people out there who were about to ask the same questions that we were trying to answer through our work in the Corona Committee, and which I then summarized in that video.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so we'll build on that, if you will. We'll continue to look at what's happened over the last month and what is in the foreseeable future. So to set the stage, early October you released that 50-minute English spoken statement in which you explain in detail why the corona measures and the pandemic, in your words, is a corona fraud. Now, we will not revisit that statement. People can, if they can find it at all, we'll talk about YouTube censoring it, but it's on other channels as well. And maybe it's one of the most shared videos by now on BitChute. I've been looking at your name on BitChute, and there's lots of people who have copied that thing. So,
hey, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed, and I'm also very happy about that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I'll link to that statement so people can revisit it, and I urge them to do that because for the information that you provide there. Now, I've seen your YouTube channel as well. I've just been released from the penalty bench in YouTube. I got censored for something that I uploaded. I noticed that your channel has not been uploading over the last 2 weeks. Anything going on there?
Yeah, same thing here. But we're going to take them to court. We're going to sue YouTube and Google because it's not up to them to decide what kind of opinion anyone can express. It's up to the people. It's up to the courts, but not up to a private corporation.
Well, for the time being, it is. I mean, if they decide to flag my video or channel, then I'm basically screwed. So what I'm going to do is this interview with you in full is going to be on the other channels, and I might cut it off at some point if I feel YouTube might not like what we have to say. So that's my disclaimer. I urge people to watch this thing in full, and it's going to be all over the internet on other channels as well. Okay, so to start off, in short, what is your profession? What is the essence or summary of that October statement for people that have not seen it?
I'm a lawyer, and I have been a lawyer for 26 years. Part of the time that I have been practicing law, I was also a lecturer and a professor of law at the University of Göttingen and at another private German-American university in Hanover. But basically, my main profession is that of a trial lawyer. And what my colleagues and I here in my firm have been doing over the last 26 years is we represented mostly consumers and small corporations against large fraudulent corporations like VW, Deutsche Bank, and of course, also the largest shipping company in the world, which is Kühne & Nagel.
Okay, thank you. You're also working with I don't know the proper term in English, but I'll call it the Outside of Parliament Investigative Committee in Germany, the ACU2020.org. We have such committee in the Netherlands also starting up now. They're in their sixth hearing past weekend.
It's not the ACU. That's another outfit conducted by somebody else in Hamburg.
Oh.
We're the ones in Berlin. We're just the Corona Committee or Corona Investigative Committee.
Okay, thank you.
So there's two groups that are working parallel, but we're the ones in Berlin, just the Corona Committee.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Now, what they are doing in the Netherlands is focused on the corona measures as well. So they feel the policies by our Dutch government are inadequate, and they are hearing specialists with their opinion on how it's influencing their field, like psychiatrists, psychologists, medical doctors, and so on. Okay, so what has been the biggest finding of your German committee so far?
Well, we started out with basically three questions. One is, how dangerous is the virus? Question number one is, how much damage do the anti-corona measures do, both health-wise for the world's population and as far as the economy is concerned? And the third major aspect was, how much can we trust the PCR tests? In the meantime, of course, the answer to the first question is really simple. It would be a lot simpler if the mainstream media had reported on this, but even the WHO has finally agreed with the studies that one of the most quoted scientists in the world, Professor Ioannidis of Stanford University, has conducted. And his result is, and the WHO agrees with that, we have an infection mortality rate of 0.14%, and that's about roughly the same as that of the common flu. So in other words, nothing more, whatever is happening right now, whatever virus is going around, it's no more dangerous than the common flu. So question, why are we having a lockdown? Never had a lockdown or mask wearing requirements for the common flu. The second question is also very clear. The damage that is being done goes far beyond anything that's ever been experienced on a global level. A German cleric in one of his sermons, which was published, said, this is like World War III, except there's no war. But all the damage is far, far worse than anything we've ever seen. Many people committing suicide, many people not getting the medical attention that they should get, and of course, all the businesses going bankrupt, in particular, hotels and restaurants. Most of them will probably never, ever be able to get up again unless we turn this thing around and get damages for them. So the final question, which is what our work is focusing on right now, is what about these PCR tests? And it turns out that this is a major fake. The PCR tests, unlike what the guy who invented this particular PCR test, Professor Drosten of Charité University, says, and what the WHO then recommended in response to his findings, unlike his false statements, PCR tests cannot tell you anything about infections. The only thing that PCR tests by themselves, if you just take them as the PCR test as they were intended by its inventor, Nobel Prize laureate Kary Mullis, who unfortunately died late last year. PCR tests are great, but you cannot use them to find out anything about infections. The only thing it does is it tells you that it has found something and which is invisible to the human eye, but by making it larger, by blowing it up, so to speak, you make it visible. But the most important thing about PCR tests is they cannot tell the difference between live and dead matter. So, and that's why one of the major players in this field, Dr. Mike Yeadon, formerly of Pfizer, that's one of the largest pharmaceutical corporations. He was their chief science officer for, I think, 16 years, and he was also their vice president. And he says, these PCR tests cannot tell you anything about infections. And what he also says, he explains in detail how they work. And one of the things that he says, I would like to quote this to you, but I guess
if you can find it.
He says, we're going to have to get rid of these tests as quickly as possible, because in this context, they do not make any sense.
Okay.
And his article ends with, and I think that one I can find, ends with him summarizing that the end result of his close look at these PCR tests is they cannot be used for the purpose that everybody claims they can be used for. They cannot tell you about anything about infection. So the only thing that they're good for, and that's what they're being used for, is to cause panic, so that people in panic mode will do whatever they're told without asking any questions.
Okay. I have some follow-up questions on PCR and how that came about, so that's going to be in a few minutes. You announced early October, in English at the least, that you will be bringing these crimes against humanity to court. So the corona measures are going to a class action lawsuit, I assume. So where is that lawsuit going to take place, and when do you expect it to take place?
We're going to file these complaints, these lawsuits, in a number of different jurisdictions. The first ones are going to be filed here in Germany, probably this week, at the end of this week, because it takes a lot of effort. You have to write these complaints as detailed as possible without making this totally confusing. So yeah, on the one hand, you have to write them so that a judge immediately understands what this is all about. But on the other hand, you have to include all the details. You have to include expert opinions, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't have class actions in Germany. Actually, in no country here in Europe do we have class actions. They were invented. Excuse me. They were invented by the British a few hundred years ago, but they don't exist in England anymore. The only two places, I think maybe there's a third place, but they do exist in the United States and in Canada, and possibly, but I haven't looked into this, I'm going to have to talk to my Australian colleagues, possibly in Australia as well. But we're now officially collaborating with the Americans, and this means one person in particular, that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I met him on the occasion of one of the demonstrations, the largest demonstration that was ever held here in Germany, in Berlin, on August the 29th. When the mainstream media claimed there were only 17,000 people, but we know for a fact, because there were 34 lawyers on the ground, plus a number of police officers who collaborate with us, more than a million people were there. Yeah. He gave a speech, I gave a speech, and we got to talk a little, and we've been in touch ever since. And now we have the official agreement, the official announcement that Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Children's Health Defense Fund and our Corona committee are collaborating. Plus, and this is new, last night, Rocco Galati of Canada, he also joined our group, and he has already brought a complaint. We're going to get it probably tonight. And at the core of his complaint is the PCR test. He represents a child whose mother works in a crime lab, so she is a specialist on PCR tests.
Okay. Is there an intentional order with starting in Germany, or is that just the way it developed?
No. We just, you know, this. We keep talking, we keep brainstorming, and it just so happens that it took us a while to explain to our American colleagues that this is at the center of everything. You don't have to think about whether or not that order or that order is constitutional or not. If you attack the domino stone, that if it falls, takes everything down. So the whole house of cards, we believe, is going to come down once we prove in a court of law that what Professor Drosten did is giving false statements of facts in order to defraud the general population. He didn't do it all by himself, but through his cronies at the World Health Organization, who then recommended his test to the entire world. It's the entire world that seems to believe that PCR tests tell you something about infections when they don't.
Okay. Are you looking to extend that to other countries as well?
Yeah, we're collaborating with basically everyone who wants to collaborate. Last night, again, I spoke with representatives of Namibia, for example, but we're in touch with the Italians, the French, with pretty much everyone. It's just so much work that we're going to have to hire more people, because I cannot be the one who talks to everyone in person, because if I did that, I wouldn't get to do anything anymore.
Well, yeah.
But we're setting up this website, and everybody, we're going to link everyone with everyone.
Okay, excellent. So who are you going to prosecute against?
Here in Germany, it's going to be Professor Drosten and Professor Wheeler and those who support them by defaming people who like, I don't know if you probably know the name of Dr. Wolfgang Wodak, right?
Yeah.
He is the doctor who 12 years ago, when the same thing almost happened, and because the same protagonists 12 years ago tried to make the swine flu into a pandemic, Dr. Wodak was defamed by one of the so-called fact checkers You know, those are the people who get paid, and then they do anything that the people who pay them ask them. And he was defamed by a special outfit. I forget the name. Volkstapeza, I think, is their name, because they claimed in public on the internet that Dr. Wodak is lying when he says that the PCR tests don't tell you anything about infections. So we're going to take them to court, and then the court will have to hear witnesses on what can these PCR tests do.
Okay, excellent. So for my Dutch audience, so this is being recorded from the Netherlands to Americans that's in Europe.
They know that.
Yeah, would know that. But where are you then? Where are you currently?
I'm in Germany.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm in Germany. I can't go back because the country is still locked down, more or less. I mean, I'm not an American. I do have American relatives, but I'm not an American. I have only the German citizenship. Germans currently cannot travel to the United States.
Thank you. Now, the corona measures, like lockdowns and wearing face masks mandatory, are globally fairly similar. We have that in all different countries. We are also testing people on a similar way with that PCR test that you just mentioned. Now, Dutch molecular biologist Pieter Borger, through an online masterclass, explained the other day in detail how that PCR mechanism is flawed. So he extends on what you delivered early October, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's in Dutch. So for my Dutch, that's why I mentioned my Dutch audience. I'll link that under this conversation. So I urge you to look at that. So in detail, what's Reinhard Friedrich talking about? What's wrong with the PCR test? So you can look that up there. You refer to this PCR test being designed by German virologist Christian Drosten. It was published in a European Institute Eurosurveillance. So that's Europe's Journal on Infectious Disease Surveillance, Epidemiology, Prevention and Control. Mm-hmm. It was published January 23rd. So this is leading up to a question. So early this year that was published. Drosten is not only the author, but he's also on the board of that thing. As is Dutch RIVM, which is the Dutch Center of Disease Control, Dutch RIVM member Chantal Reusken. So both of them are authors to that piece, and they're on the board of the group that published it. My question is, has it been peer-reviewed since? Do you know?
I don't think so. Actually, I'm pretty sure it hasn't. Right now, there are a lot of microbiologists and immunologists all over the world who are demanding that this paper be retracted because it's full of errors. We know that because one of the experts who we talked to, Professor Kemmerer, she's, I think, an immunologist and biologist from the University of Würzburg, and she's an expert on PCR tests. She's getting all these phone calls and emails from colleagues from all over the world that say this paper must be retracted because it's full of bad mistakes. And also the scientific quality of this paper, she explained to us, is very low. So it's very, very surprising that the WHO chose this paper and not one that was, I think, published a couple of days earlier by a Chinese group of scientists, which was much, much better. But the WHO chose this paper. And the only reason we can now, in hindsight, we can find for this is that they wanted to produce as many false positives as possible, because positive to the general population translates to infection, ill, death, and that was their way of trying to make it as panicky as possible.
So it's going to be a lawsuit. Is intent or motive going to play a part in that? Because this is speculation, what you just did. Is that going to be brought to before a judge also?
Oh, yeah. It's the question of intent is something that you can have expert witnesses testify to. There is evidence which will show that Professor Drosten knew that he was telling the public lies, in essence, because six years ago, he, in an interview that was with respect to another coronavirus, I think it was the MERS virus, six years ago, he explicitly stated in this interview in a business magazine that these tests do not really give you a good picture of what's really going on. And all of a sudden now he claims that they do. The one thing that you have to know, that's something that even I understand, and I'm not a medical doctor. If you blow up what you cannot see with the human eye in these machines, and you use more than 35 cycles, then it is totally and completely unscientific. And actually, the Frankfurt Public Health Agency says anything above 25 cycles, we disregard it. His tests were set for 45 cycles. Yeah. So you have 94% or more false positives.
All right. So you called this not just one of the greatest crimes against humanity, but the greatest crime against humanity. Shouldn't that also be tried then at least at European court or the International Court of Justice in The Hague? Is that on the roadmap?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. But I'm a tort lawyer. I do what I can do. I do what I'm good at. And I'm good at going after fraudulent corporations for fraud or people who work for fraudulent corporations. I think in this case, it's really important to go after the people in person who are responsible so that they cannot hide behind any institution or corporation.
Okay. So this lawsuit, be it in Germany or any of the other countries, feels like it's on behalf of me as well, as just me being a podcaster here in the Netherlands.
So I think on behalf of all of us, myself included and our children included.
Yeah. Okay. My children also. That's what I mean. So is there a way for me and other concerned citizens to join you in any way?
We're trying to educate as many of the international colleagues as possible about the intricacies of these PCR tests so that they understand. Don't waste your time on anything else. Go after the PCR test. And they have a choice. They can either go and sue the people who are responsible, like we're doing this here in Germany, Drosten, Wheeler, the RKI, either in Germany, or they can wait until the many different complaints that are going to be filed in the United States and in Canada evolve into a class action, which will then most likely include anyone else as well. Because the basis of this class action, as I envision it, this is completely new. This is new territory because what we're dealing with is completely new. This has never happened before. But the idea is, if you have not just one person who is injured by, in this case, intentional harmful activities, if you have more than just one person, if you have many people, like here in this case, the PCR test-induced lockdowns did the same thing all over the world. All of the people who are in the hotel business, in the restaurant business, many of them are now pretty much bankrupt, and many of them will never recover from this. So what's going to happen is, one person or one corporation is going to file a complaint in the United States or in Canada, and they're going to tell the judge, listen, I'm not the only one. There's about 1,000 more, maybe a million, maybe 10 million more people. So instead of having 1,000 different lawsuits, let's agree, judge, that you will allow my lawsuit to go forward as a class action. And if that judge then says, okay, we're gonna allow this class action lawsuit, then there's going to be this is going to be communicated all over the world through the mainstream media, so that everybody understands what they can do, and then anybody who suffered damages because of these PCR test induced lockdowns can join the class. They can join the class, and then the representative plaintiff, someone who suffered typical damages, the representative plaintiff, if he wins, everybody else wins with him.
Excellent. Okay. I interviewed last week historian and economic specialist Martin Armstrong. He pointed out that the coronavirus measures are, in his opinion, part of a larger scheme that ties into World Economic Forum saying you'll own nothing, and the IMF aiming at a great monetary reset and central banks introducing a digital currency. Now, you have tried against Deutsche Bank, so it is an area of expertise for you as well. My question, this leads into question, would you share Martin Armstrong's opinion that the corona measures worldwide might be tied into something even deeper, like financial economic strategies? And is that going to play a role in your lawsuits?
I know that it is playing a role in Rocco Galati's lawsuit, which has been filed, I think, a couple of months ago in Canada. I know that he's telling everyone the entire story. My argument was, and I think my American colleagues mostly agree with this, and our German colleagues as well, is don't ask too much of the judge. Right now, there's too many people out there who have trouble enough understanding that there is no pandemic, or if there is a pandemic, it's not a corona pandemic, but rather it's a PCR test pandemic. Yeah. So that's the first step, and that's the level that we're going to concentrate on. We're going to try and get a court to decide that whatever's going on is no more dangerous than the common flu, one, and whatever's going on, it doesn't have anything to do with infections, because the PCR tests don't tell you anything about infections. They're just being used to scare the shit out of us, that's all. Of course, once you reach that stage and once you come to that conclusion, the next question automatically is, well, if that is the case, if this is no more dangerous than the common flu, and if the PCR tests don't do what they're supposed to do or what people claim they do, why is all this happening and who is behind this? And to give you a short answer, I don't think we need this in order to win our case. But I agree with Mr. Armstrong. I don't know the details yet, but through the fog, we can see that this is a strategy that people have been working on for at least 10 years, probably longer. So I tend to agree with his assessment, but it is not important for us to win the lawsuit.
Okay.
We will get to that, but not now. I don't think we need to.
Yeah, all in good time. I hear you good. So yeah. The corona measures might be part of a bigger scheme. On the scale of biggest crime against against humanity. I don't know if there's a scale. I mean, it's a superlative. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but do you feel the legal system is still the place where such battles can be brought to justice?
I think so. And in some countries, in particular in the United States, judges are really independent. We all know, of course, that it's the parties who, for example, decide who is going to be a Supreme Court justice. However, even in the United States or a federal court justice, but there's also the state court system in the United States, and the people who are judges in that state court system, they are elected by the people. So it is a clear fact that judges in the United States and in Canada are much more independent than those here in Germany. Here in Germany, that is my experience and my colleagues' experience. This is not just one lawyer. We're a group of lawyers, about 30 lawyers, who are collaborating on this. Here in Germany, the judiciary has not been as independent as they could have been when it comes to cases that involve what we call structural inequality. Structural inequality meaning I represent mostly consumers and small corporations against large, very powerful, financially powerful, and also politically very powerful corporations. VW and Deutsche Bank are two examples. Now, since Germany is an export-minded country, it is part of the what we call of the public understanding that our most important and most powerful corporations need protection. And in some cases, in particular when it comes to Deutsche Bank, which in my view is one of the most criminal organizations in the world, used to be different, but some 25 years ago things changed. When it comes to lawsuits against Deutsche Bank, many judges, not all of them, but many judges tend to believe, we have to take special measures because this is critical, this is a corporation that is, I forget the term, but that is systematically relevant, I think is the term. Or when you sue VW in the state of Lower Saxony, you don't almost have no chance to succeed. And that's because here, Lower Saxony owns 20% of the shares of VW. So if a judge decides against here in Lower Saxony, decides against VW, he basically decides against his own employer who employs him and at the same time owns 20% of VW. That cannot be. And I think the European court will one day have to make sure that this is not going to go on any longer.
Yeah, what you said early October also, you're not just seeking justice, you're seeking a system change. So we may change these things for the better as well.
I think everybody is. I think everybody is, because the one good thing about this planned pandemic, I agree with Armstrong on that, because it's obvious. The one good thing is that all of the things that have been festering like wounds and have been covered up over the years, now all of it comes into plain sight. And I think we're going to have to deal with all of that when it comes to a new alignment, socio-political alignment of how we're going to live in the future. And it shouldn't be any corporation or even individuals telling us what to do. It should be us, the people, making up their minds and deciding what we want.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. So we're approaching the end of this conversation. I have two final questions. In the Netherlands, there's a court case prepared also against the Minister of Health here with regards to the use of the PCR test. I had hoped they'd have their date by now, but they're going to get a court date today or tomorrow, and it's going to take place within the next 2 weeks. So question to you is, apart from your own initiative that you just elaborated on and this one in Holland, do you know if there are other initiatives also taking place anywhere on the world?
As far as the PCR tests are concerned, yeah. There are lawsuits coming up everywhere, okay, all over the world. I know that even before I had the idea of moving for a class action, there was and still is a class action pending in Canada against a PCR test maker. It's just not the Drosten test, but it's a Canadian PCR test maker. But these things are going on everywhere because all the lawyers, with the help of the medical experts and other scientific experts who are educating the lawyers, because the lawyers have no medical knowledge, all the lawyers have finally understood this is what we need to attack. This is at the heart of the matter, the PCR tests.
Okay. Okay. Now, PCR, to my knowledge, everybody is a PCR expert now. You are.
I'm not, but I'm trying. I need to.
We're training up a bit, yeah. So PCR, as I would describe this, is not a test. It's a method and not suited for clinical diagnosis. Our minister has been using it exclusively to report on what he calls infections. Now, in the Netherlands, there's talk about new tests, like fast-track tests. Mm-hmm. And that uses also it also uses nasal swabs, just like the PCR test, but it's executed differently and gives its results faster. So do you know about this fast-track test? And at this point, can you assess its trustworthiness as compared to the PCR test? Because the general audience is going to see these lawsuits taking place, and then my Minister of Health will go, but we have a better test. So what do you think is going to happen there?
That doesn't make a difference because they're just as unreliable. They're faster, but they're just as unreliable. That's what I was told last night. I spoke with one of the experts on the phone because that's one of the questions that the American colleagues had. And it doesn't change the fact that the anti-corona measures, which we're living with right now, are not based on the new tests, but they're based on the old tests. And if they don't work, if they don't tell us what they're supposed to tell us, then these measures are completely illegal and unconstitutional.
Yeah, exactly. And so what a Dutch lawyer just told me before this conversation is that there's a European guideline, and I will link that also under this conversation, that says in its paragraph 4, for the quick antigen tests, it's important that the PCR test is chosen as the comparator method. So I don't know. I'm not fluent in it. There you have it. Go ahead.
The basic problem with the PCR test is that it cannot distinguish between live and dead matter. So what happens is if you take a molecule from the throat or the nose of a person, you cannot see it. You put it into these machines, and then you have to blow them up. And at I think after 25 cycles, this whole thing becomes more or less unreliable. But even if it were reliable, the only thing it would tell you is that it found a sequence of a molecule. And it cannot tell you whether it's alive, whether it's live and can replicate, or if it's dead. It may very well find a fragment of your own body's immune system's prior fight against the common cold. Now, if it finds that, you cannot translate this into this is an infection, because it isn't. You cannot be infected without showing symptoms. That's another basic fact. You have to know this. Unless you have symptoms, you're not infected. You're infected when the virus enters your cells and starts to replicate. That's when you become contagious. Before that, your body's immune system is taking care of everything. You're not contagious. That's why I'm saying, and all the experts are saying, now even the Berlin Senate agrees with this, PCR tests cannot tell you anything about infections.
Well, that fooled me. Thank you for this talk. Anything you want to add, or are we? Carry on.
I think we covered everything, and I'm really happy about the German-Dutch alliance that we have.
As am I. Take care. All the best.
Okay, you too.
Bye bye.
Yes, we came. We saw. He died.
Every nation. In every region, now has a decision to make.
You think I'm joking? Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
Laat staan dat ik kan ingaan over vuur.